Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, good day, good day, and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle B.W. Jones Sr., right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad and elated to be with you on this day. It is another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It appears our intro music has not begun. So we're asking you to just bear with us. We're sorry for the dead air you received, but at the end of the day, it will be a live time in Him. We want you to focus with us today as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the engrafted and the ordained Word of the Most High, hoping you'll be able to tune in and stay with us for just a few moments. We're going to prepare some things for you on the side of what we call rightness that will make your practical life and the application thereof worth living and understanding its fullest and truest intent. Well, today is a day that Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. You should. I know I will. As a matter of fact, why don't we do it together? Let's just rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the Sabbath day of rest that we are about to enter into. And today, if you're going to learn anything, you're going to learn what Sabbath is. It's a wonderful peace. It's a wonderful understanding. It's a great revelation. It's a pure and true intention of prophetic utterance that will empower your life. But before we get started on that, we want two things to happen. One, you to know that there is another day that is not like this day that you will be able to say today is. You only have this day. Live it to the fullest. Live it with and for its purpose, and watch Yahweh do what He alone does in every matter. Don't you go anywhere. You stay right here. We've got a great program for you today.
Praise Team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this. Everybody clap those hands. Let's say it again.
wondrous is the name of Yahweh. That's what it means, the Lord. That's right. Oh, how wondrous is that name. Wonderful. It's a wonderful thing when you have wonder and you are full of it. That's what it means when we talk about the name of the Lord. We call the Lord in the Hebrew tongue Yahweh. He is our Elohim. That means the Lord our God. Yahweh, our Elohim. Oh, how wonder and full of wonder is his name. That's why the Bible declares that the righteous run into his name and they are safe. It's a wonder. When you give Yahweh your battles and your struggles and you run into him, you will be amazed. And it will be a wonderful experience to be in him, with him, through him, for him, and toward him. It's such a dynamic piece. I love the will, the plan, the purpose, and more importantly, the wonder of Yahweh. Well, this is the day that he has made. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad in it. So let's get into our word today. We got a lot to discuss, quite a bit to look into. When you have given your life over to the Messiah and you have allowed for yourself to be cleansed by him, purged by him, in spite of who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you are in him. The Bible declares there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Messiah. And so once you have given your life to him, look at the benefits you receive of him. He puts you on a plan that he will allow himself to schedule, to be with you, to sit with you, to study with you, to talk with you. If you have questions, or he, Yahweh, our Elohim, is and will be there for you. That's right. You don't need your pastor. You don't need your prayer partner. You don't need this person and that person. What you need is his word and you in a place of total concentration on his word. That's why the Bible declares he sent his word and healed our land. This, you and I, are nothing but dirt. We are the land that he heals. Yes, he also heals the physical land called Adoma, the earth in realm, the dry places on the sphere called the third rock from the sun. However, you and I are derived from those dry, ruddy, earthen areas. That's what we are made of. That is what our pulchritude is made from. And then he mixed the concoction of water and his word and his will and his engineering plan into that. You and I, through the man Adam and Eve, are now here on the earth. And we come from the earth. That means that we're land. So he sent his word and healed our land. When you and I are going through whatever it is we're going through, the storms, the struggles, the issues, the hang-ups, the bondages, the freedoms, the vibrations, the breakdowns, the disappointments, the heartache, the pain, the glee, the celebration of life, all of these things happen in our land. And when they are out of kilter, the word puts them back into balance. So there are times when you will go through struggles in your life that you wish God you'd never gotten into. But his word, when you give over to him, as I'm learning every day, the more I give over my heart, mind, body, soul, listen, thoughts, words, intentions to him, he allows for me to walk in a place that he alone has prepared for them that love him. You and I have that ability every day to walk in what is known as the rightness and righteousness of him. We choose not to do that. We make that choice. That choice becomes ours. And when you make a choice, you got to own up to that choice. You make a decision. You know that that decision renders you scenarios. But watch what Elohim does. He says, when you come to me, you recognize and acknowledge your error, your sins, your faults, your shortcomings, your failings, whatever they may be, and you mean it from your heart. You repent from it. You turn away from it. You don't go back to it again. You leave it where you found it, and you give your life and the reins of your heart to him. Let him sit on the throne of your life. He then takes control. Here's the beauty of it. He will wash you, cleanse you,
He will forgive you, and he will, more importantly, restore you. And when you get restored, you are refreshed. And that is the segue we want to deal with today. What is restoration? What is the resetting? What is the recalibrating of your life after you have messed up, changed up, flipped up, turned out, turned up, whatever it is you do when you do what you do, how you do you? And when you come to the place of realizing the more you live your life for your benefit, the worse it becomes for his kingdom. He says, if you'll come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, I, Yahweh, the I am that I am, the wonderful element of the universe, creator of heaven and earth and all that therein dwells, says, I will give you rest. So if you're walking around today and you've got animosity, you got hatred, you got confusion, you got derision, you have your own self-purpose and your self-plans at play, Yahweh will give you rest from you. The worst thing that our King, our Savior, can ever do is to turn us over to ourselves. I'm so grateful and so happy for his mercy. His mercy, his mercy, his mercy endureth forever. Don't ever let that evade you. Never let that leave you. No, he doesn't want you in sin. He doesn't want you in folly. He doesn't want you cutting up. It may be. All of us have been in that place at one point or another in our lives. I know I have been. I'm a chief offender, like Paul says. And so at the end of the day, the more I learn, and specifically in the older days of your life, you learn that there are ways that you just have to finally abandon. And once you become completely abandoned to do the will of Elohim, you are the entity he will use in the earth to bring peace, harmony, and resolution to souls that are going to be so many more than you could ever imagine. But it requires all of us to come back into him, rest in his truths, in his word, and not in our own ways. So today is a day that we're going to discuss that deals with and comprehends and gives us the comprehension of what we call rest. Now, the day of Sabbath, which is the day you're in, about sundown today at approximately, I think 8:15 or so today, p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sure Pacific Standard Time or Central Standard Time for all of you that are viewing with us across the globe and listening to this broadcast. Whatever the sundown is in your time zone is sundown. And that sundown time is when your new day begins. And what Yahweh does in the process of giving us rest, he requires that on sundown of every Gregorian calendar day called Friday, on sundown on the Gregorian calendar day, Saturday, Yahweh requires, asks, and looks for us to enter into a place of rest with him. And when we begin to rest with him, he begins to communicate towards us. He begins to communicate on our behalf. He begins to push ideas, mindsets, plans that he's engineered into our psyche, that we might begin to live the life he requires of us. And when we become obedient to him, and we all fall short of this glory, don't ever let anybody make you feel or think that they are so holy and righteous that they don't fail Elohim and they don't make their errors and make mistakes and duplicate their own sins. Never let someone make you feel or think or push you or manipulate you or intimidate you into a corner of thinking that they're so righteous they can judge you. The bottom line is Yahweh is your judge. He is the one who stands before you. You will stand before him, and he is the ultimate judge of everything you've ever done. And when he makes a judgment, or he eradicates a judgment, or he grants you mercy where you should have received a judgment, you rejoice in that fact, but know that it is he alone who is in control and possesses the life eternal that most of us and all of us seek after. So let vision or bring you into complications or compromise your walk in him, because of an understanding that is not his will. What do we mean by that? When you rest on the days called Sabbath, you have the opportunity to look back over the 6 days you've lived prior to and then begin to embrace the realities of how those things panned out, what you did wrong, how you did them, and could they be done differently and or better in the very near future. And so with that being said, Sabbath, the seventh day of rest. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible declares that Yahweh, having completed all the work of creation in 6.5 days, or 6 days, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say 6.5, in 6 days, in the middle of the sixth day, in the middle of the sixth day, he made what is known as mankind. And when he made mankind in the middle of the sixth day, he capped off the creation process, and then he made man for the sixth, rule over those days, have dominion over all that Yahweh had created and produced and put in his power, the trees, the herbs of the ground, the fish of the sea, the fruit, the vegetation, the airwaves. We even had control over the airwaves. That's a deep concept to get into. But every area, the Garden of Eden that Yahweh had made, the rivers of Hedekel and the delta that he created, the Euphrates, he gave us all that dominion. And when he given us that dominion, he says, once you've done what I've asked you to do, because I've made you on the 5.6 day, or in the sixth day, at the latter half of the sixth day, I made you at the end of 6 days because I want you to rule over the 6 days. Now, this adds a new meaning as well to another phrase we use in Christendom, which is called that which is the first shall be the last, and the last shall be first. When you look at this, the creation of man was the last created, and then he calls that last thing he created to be first, and to be revered, and to be esteemed first over all that was created. So man is now the first, and in the process of him being the manager over the land, he was given dominion, lordship, and a position of authority that only Yahweh himself can give and attribute to his creation. But in 6 days, he makes the heavens and the earth. He makes man to rule over what he's made. And then on the seventh day, the Sabbath, the seventh day, the Bible declares, he rested from all of his labor. More importantly, not only does he rest from all his labor, listen to this, this is where it gets deep. He literally, I love this piece so much, he literally allows for man to habitate with him. He allows for man to rest in and with him. The Bible declares he hallowed the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. And he rested from all his labors. Now, if our God has made us in his image and in his likeness, and thereby he is resting on the seventh day, and we claim when it's convenient that we are made in his image and in his likeness, then why aren't we resting like and in his image on that day ourselves? This, for the Most High, is one of the mysteries of the faith of Christendom, because we think that it is an actual area of law versus grace. And it really is not. It is the intention and the prescription of our Creator to rest in him, to rest from all the mistakes, all the celebrations, all the successes, all the errors, all the things that we do in life, and then assess them, and then look at how to move forward, or to pluck up that which we planted in error, or begin to harvest what we planted in rightness, and or whatever it should be. He gives us the wisdom that is him in that given day. So what is that day? As I told you, it is the sixth. Is on every Gregorian calendar day called Friday. It starts at sundown on that day. So if daylight savings time has us having less daylight in the course of a day, then it begins somewhere around 5:30 or whatever. But you want to make sure whenever the time of the sun is known to be gone down on the Friday of your calendar week, that is when Sabbath, the hallowed, blessed, refreshing, rejuvenating day begins. And if we would do what he requires in that day, and that is to turn our foot from our own things and doing our own way on his holy day, he will do some things for us. Let's talk about what he'll do in that day of rest. Many people say, well, I really can't do it. It's just too much. The world has too much to do, and I got too much to get done, and I got bills to pay. I got people to see. I got places to go. I got to build this. I got to tear this down. I got a dog that's sick. I got a child that's got a game, soccer and basketball and football. But look at what the word says in Isaiah chapter number 58, verse number 13. This is where it gets really good to my soul, and I love, love, love what his word says, not what my church believes. But if the church don't believe the word, then there's going to be conflict. Two really can't walk together except they be agreed. And if we are in him, we should not have division. If your brother or your sister doesn't see it the way you see it, make sure you go to the word and then use the word to bring the two of you at whatever cost back together again. Now look at this. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, it states, if you will turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Now, he says my holy day, and who that is, it's not Isaiah saying my holy day. It is Yahweh our Elohim giving the instructions to his prophet Isaiah and says, this is my holy day, Sabbath, the seventh day of every week. That's my holy day. Remember, the Bible declares that he hallowed out the seventh day and he blessed the seventh day. He says, if you turn away your foot on Sabbath pleasure on my holy day, and if you, a believer in me, one who was blood washed, repented for your sins, works for the peace and unity and the upbuilding of my kingdom, and when you make your mistakes, you repent for your mistakes, you mean it from your heart, you turn your back on that thing, and you press forward. If you are that type of an individual, he is saying that you should call my day a delight, a reason for wanting to be and obey his will. Make that day a delight. The Sabbath day to me is the delight of my week. Every week it is a day of delight I look forward to. No, not Sunday. It's good to be around folks who believe in Messiah, but my delight is in the Sabbath day of rest, and the Sabbath day of rest is my delight. And when I delight myself in that day, oh my goodness, the type of revelation, the understanding, the purpose and the mission for your life is revealed to you. Sometimes it's doled out in small pieces. Sometimes he puts it together like a jigsaw puzzle, because he says that you and I, he says, watch this, when he gives us small pieces of the puzzle and small bits of information, we fail to realize and or embrace that he oftentimes wants us to what? Search him out. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. That's what Paul required us to do. Study to show yourself approved. Become a workman that need not be ashamed, but one who can rightly divide the words of truth, the words of life. Listen to this. He also says, it is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of the king to search that matter out. And there is where it becomes incumbent upon us as believers in Messiah to search out his word, search out his writ, search out his plan for our lives. How do we do that? Where does that search begin? I got an idea. How about Sabbath? The day that he hallowed so you and I and he could fellowship together in unity. Look at what he says back to Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 13. It's so good to me. He says, if you will turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, backbiting, murmuring, complaining, judging, pointing finger, lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, murder of your brother, murder of your sister, any of those types of things. He says, if you on that day will honor me and rest, refrain from doing you, and if you will make that day a delight in your life. If you will watch this, this is so good. If you will call that day a delight and will honor him, not doing your own ways. That's sort of hard to do when you haven't been taught Sabbath worship, but let me help you process through in an applicable way. He says, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. Then, if you do that, if you make that day honorable, if you make that day a delight, if you make that day the day you honor him by making sure you removed all secularism from your world, you removed all gossip, you removed all gossip-driven people, you removed, family is not exempt from this, because though the day is set for you and your family to honor him in this day, if you have family members, loved ones who just constantly drag out issues and are just antagonistic in every way, maybe they're not saved. But whatever the situation or the process could be, you want to be on this day away from those people. So what you do is you sort of kind of put a hedge about your world so that only Ruach HaKodesh, that's the Holy Ghost for some of you that don't know, and Adonai, well, that's the Son of God for those of you who don't know, the Word of God, and Yahweh, for those that don't know, that's the Father, the engineer, the planner of your life. When you and I just give him, that's our Elohim. Yahweh, Adonai, Ruach HaKodesh, all in one are our Elohim. They are our God. And so though they are multiple, they are yet one. He, the one true and living God, is in three. And when we give him all the attention in that 24-hour period of time, you'll be surprised how your life literally begins to change. Now, do you have the ability to go back to the old you? Yes, you do. People always say, well, when you get saved, you're supposed to be a certain way. When you get saved and then you're supposed to graduate, get in leadership. When you get leadership, you this way, you that way, and you're supposed to be this way. When you saved, all this. Let me tell you something. Everybody that's gotten saved, everybody that is saved, everybody that will be saved, will always have, even as our Messiah did, the ability to revert back to their old thinking. Now, the issue and the question becomes having the discipline to not answer the door of your past with your flesh, but answer the door of your past by allowing Messiah, who now is supposed to be resident in you, to answer the door. And let me help answering the door in our flesh, whether it's with our anger, whether it's with our lust, whether it's with our covetousness, whether it's with our murmuring, whether it's with our lying, whether it's with whatever the proclivity may have been, we will answer that door in a flesh state. And you have to remember, I shouldn't have answered the door. Yahweh, forgive me, please. Please evict this spirit that has caused me to error from my life. Help me to clean up what's been done. Help me to grant you and your kingdom a proper view for people who don't know you. And then from that place, Yahweh will do and show you all he has planned for you. So on this day, the Sabbath day of rest, I love this word. Man, I love this word. On the Sabbath day of rest, if you and I will honor his request by not working on that day, and I know it's hard for some of you, but by not having drama in your life on that day, keeping drama-driven people out of your life for just that 24-hour period of time, it could be your mother, it could be your sister, it could be your brother, it could be your father, who you know that are driven the drama out of your life on that day, rest in him. And when you rest in him, everything they felt they needed to show you, those antagonistics, those drama fields, everything that they want to show you, Yahweh will show you himself. And then he'll show it to you in a way that you can actually make productive and efficient change and become the very image of his son. But you've got to honor him. I got to honor him. You've got to honor him in that day to do his way. That's why he says in verse 13, if you turn your foot from doing your pleasures, from doing your ways, from finding your own pleasures, speaking your own words, call my day an honor. Honor me, Yahweh says, with that day, doing your own thing, by not speaking your own words, by not finding your own entertainment. If you do that, just for that 24 hours every week, watch what he says. Then you will delight yourself in Yahweh. And Yahweh, the Bible says, will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Yahweh does that. You don't have to build your own world of this or that. You will allow him to prepare for you. He will cause for things to just synchronize with you. The Bible declares that when a man's ways please Elohim, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace. The Bible declares that when you are in him, he'll cause men to give into your bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. He'll cause for your children, listen, to turn around and call you blessed. And yes, sometimes that's a difficult task. As a family man who has had great distress in his family, he has learned that there are certain things that we didn't do, though we preached and we taught, that should have been done, that would have allowed for many things, according to the Bible, to fall upon us in favor. But sometimes you don't do it. And though you may know to do it, if you don't actually do it, every one of us are suspect and subject to that. So listen closely. When you learn to rest on Sabbath, he reminds you of the things you need to do and or you should do that would allow for him grant, bless, pour favor upon and in your life. Well, we got a lot more to discuss with you all, and I'm hoping that you'll stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. It's going to be a wonderful piece here. But many people say, well, Apostle, I don't think I can do that. Well, I want to assure you, you really can. You really, really can. And it's easier to do than we think. Well, my schedule doesn't permit it. I know it doesn't. I really do know it doesn't. But you really can do everything asking of you to do. Of course, you got to make some form of a sacrifice. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. But the truth is, you really can. And this is the piece that I want you to remember and never walk away with, because in him, you're able to do all things, and you're able to do them well. The question is, do I want to forgive? The question is, do I want to walk away from what I enjoy doing? The question is, do I want to lay down my will and pick up his will? You really can do it. Well, we're going to take a couple seconds break so I can breathe, and then we're going to come right back to the broadcast. Hope you're enjoying what you're hearing, because Sabbath is upon us. And yes, you really can.
Calm that I be weak,
but you made me strong.
They thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
Held my hand and
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
you said yes, you
gotta
can.
Sing it one more time.
Yeah. All that I knew weak,
but you made me strong.
You see, they thought that I would crumble,
but they worked around.
You held my hand.
You said yes, you can.
I overcame, oh.
You said yes, you can.
about your current condition. Oh my. With the Lord on your side, you can do anything.
Like your social media? So do we. We're there too. Like us, follow us, join us. Go to our website, vwjministries.com, and find out where we are in your social media sphere.
Well, we'll hope that you'll do that. You can learn more about what we're teaching concerning the Sabbath day of rest and how to have appropriate relationship with the Father in the earthen realm. Listen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim, every single solitary last man and human. God knows I've had mine own share. But at the end of the day, it becomes incumbent upon us, if we're going to be believers, to trust Him for salvation, for deliverance, for a rebuilding of your life. You really can do it. Just trust in Him. I know there'll always be situations where you have to regret and have remorse for what you've done in the times of your past, that you'll wish God you'd never done things. But at the end of the day, and prayerfully by the end of the day, you'll have returned to the Father who says, "Son, daughter, though your sins be as scarlet, if you'll wash in my blood, repent from your ways, you turn back to me who has given you life, health, hope, and strength every day, I will make your sins as white as snow." Now, never condoning any sin, never condoning any type of conflict with His writ, but He is willing, if you've acknowledged it and recognized it, to bring you to a place of restoration. Again, that brings us to our beautiful segue into this particular study, and that is on Sabbath. What is Sabbath? What does it mean? Have you ever wondered what happens on Sabbath? Why is there a debate on the timing of Sabbath? Well, we're going to begin to deal with how this works and what it all means and what are the benefits of it. Though many people say, "Oh, that's the law, that's the law." No, it's not the law. It's an instruction. It's an instruction that if we can follow will help us to understand what, quote unquote, the law really is and or what it's not, no matter how it's purported. From one side of the planet to the other side of the planet, you and I have His holy word to fall back upon and receive great strength from. Well, back to Sabbath, going to Isaiah chapter number 58. You know I'm going to go there. In this, it tells us, again, verse 13, "If you shall honor him, take away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, make it honorable, and if you will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words," this is so good to me, "then you shall delight in Yahweh, you shall delight in the Lord." That's a beautiful thing. He says you shall delight in him. And when you delight yourself in Yahweh, he will cause you and I, this is so good, he will cause you and I, those who honor him, those who make this the delight of the Lord, he will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. You won't have to build a thing. He'll do it for you. The battle will not be yours. It becomes Yahweh's. And our biggest issue is oftentimes trying to build our own lives, or even more interestingly, trying to create something that he may not have for us to do or to be a part of. And many times we do that with relationships, we do that with ministries, we do that with businesses, we do that with friendships. And you got to make sure that this is what Yahweh has for you to do. But the Sabbath day of rest can help us to actually know whether or not Yahweh is in the midst of the activities and actions that we try to purport and carry out in the course of our days. Look at this. Verse 14, Isaiah 58 states, "Then shall you delight yourself in Yahweh,
And he says, and I will cause you. See, let's look at this. I'm going to open up another passage of the writ here, if you don't mind. And I want us to really look at it. You'll always hear me talk about this. I'm not going to stop talking about this until the day I'm dead, because I think it's really important to know. But Psalms chapter 1 is such a beautiful endorsement of what Isaiah is trying to speak to us about. Let's go there. The Bible declares, empowered is the man, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the ways of the sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. It's interesting. All of those places are negative places that the kingdom of heaven does not actually endorse. He says, don't walk in the counsel of ungodly folk. Well, what's an ungodly person? Anyone who does not desire to use the word of Elohim as their governing for life. Anyone or entity that does not desire to bring the word of Elohim into how they resolve and handle any issues. And he also says in verse 1, don't stand in the way of sinners. I know I've done it. I've stood in the way of sinners. I surely have. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, the Bible says, if you watch this, this is so deep. This is so deep. The Bible says, if you show me who your friends are, not the Bible. I'm sorry. The Bible doesn't say this. The Bible does not say this. I was saying that an adage from a proverb, I think it's a Chinese proverb. I could be wrong on that as well. But the adage goes this way. The quote goes this way. It's an unknown quote. I'll find it maybe for my next broadcast and share it with you again. But it goes on to state and say this. If you show me who your friends are, I'll show you who you are. And that's huge. That's a big thing. You know, we always think that we are this or we are that or we are the other. And that's why I love Sabbath. But Sabbath humbles me. Every time I get a glimpse of pride or a glimpse of conceit in my life or a glimpse of, you know, you the man or all this other garbage, and you start believing and reading the hype and reading your own headlines, that's when you're doomed for failure. You're submitted and committed to failing. So I've learned that on Sabbath, it brings me to a place to put before Yahweh all that I think I am. And you know what's funny? The more I lay down before him in his presence, he shows me that what I think I am so far from it. You know? You don't always need something to come and tell you that when you have Yahweh who is committed to show you that. So, what he says is, don't stand in the way of sinners. I've done it. Don't do it. It ain't good, people. You stand in the way of sinners. You stand with sinners. You get around them. You start doing what they do. And that's never a good thing. Stay away from sin. I didn't, and it cost me. It cost me huge. And I wish God I could fix. But you can't. All you can do is keep it moving. But this time, stay in the path of righteousness. Amen. Look at this. It also says, do not sit in the seat of scornful people. Don't do it. Stay away from the scornful. People who are always scorning and always antagonizing, always they're just always looking for negativity, finding negativity, enhancing negativity. Just stay away from that. Look at what he says. This man that does this, this woman that does this, they're empowered to prosper. If you are a sinner, if you are in the ways of sinners, if you sit with the scornful, if you take counsel of the ungodly without running it and filtering it through the word of Elohim, you'll find yourself not prospering. I know I'm a victim of that. You know, and several times I thought I was with the godly and found out I was with the ungodly. And I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just talking about, you know, you never know who you're dealing with on any given day. But here's the catch. The one thing you can do is if you suspect it, just stay away. Get in Yahweh. This way you know you are with the godly. Get into his word. Let his word not just be a memory for you, but let his word marinate in you, upon you, and through you, and watch it speak to you in moments, you need to make very key and crucial decisions. See, that's what it means in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed, empowered to prosper is the man that walks not in that counsel, who stands not in the way of sinners, who sits not in the seat of the scornful. But, wait a minute, his delight, the law of Yahweh. And in that law, the Torah, does that man meditate on both day and night? Now, people say, well, Apostle, I can't meditate day and night. That's just too much work. Now, you taking it too far. I mean, I got work. I got children. I got house. I got wife. I got husband. I got business. I just can't be all day and night in the Word. Well, when you meditate day and night on Sabbath, you also incorporate this blessing on your life. Watch what he says. Verse 3, here's the blessing of it. And that person, if they do that, they'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in proper season. That leaf on that fruit, on that tree, on that plant will also not wither. And here's the part that we really should become extremely excited about. And whatsoever this person who meditates on the word day and night, whatever he does, shall prosper. He shall prosper no matter what he does, no matter what she does. If she is in that word, if she's letting that word, he's letting that word live in them, change them, transform them, remove unforgiveness, remove hatred, remove folly, remove shame, remove guilt, remove sin, remove proclivities. Let the word work in your life. You, that person, myself incorporated, included, will become one that whatever they do, it shall prosper. Look at verse 4. Psalms chapter 1, 4 says, the ungodly, however, are not so. But the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor shall sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, let me say this as we begin to sort of walk away from this particular broadcast. You and I are always subject, though we love Elohim, though we praise him, though we want to pray to him, and oftentimes we get so busy we don't do it. That's why I sort of kind of make it a habit to pray. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of us, even though we profess Yeshua HaMashiach to be Savior, Jesus Christ to be Lord, we are all subject, just like our Messiah was, to doing the ungodly thing, to doing an ungodly activity or event. But watch this. This is where it gets good for you and me. Don't ever think that you are above being ungodly, even though you are in him. I found out, many others find out, that sometimes if we're too judgmental of others who have failed and erred, we ourselves, in being judgmental, are the very thing we're accusing them of. Remember this, people of the Most High. Yahweh loves you. Yahweh knows I love you. And love is unconditional. Love is a thing that covers a multitude of sin. If you ever said you love someone, you cover them. Yahweh covers us. When we sin, he doesn't take us down to hell, drag us through hell, and tell the devil, here's another client for you. He asks us, do you repent for your ways? Do you acknowledge me as Lord? Will you make me your shepherd? Will you submit your hands, your words, and your deeds to me? And if we should say yes and confess with our mouths and believe with our heart that Yahweh raised Yeshua from the dead, he will save us. That's what it means when it says the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous, those who repent for their sins, give themselves over to Yahweh in spite of themselves, they can run into Yahweh and be safe. Yes, he becomes Yahweh Nisi. Yes, he becomes Yahweh Shema. He becomes Yahweh Gomorrah. He becomes Yahweh Raphai. He becomes Yahweh Tzidkenu, teaching us to do his righteousness. Because oftentimes we think we are doing right. Sometimes we know we're not, and we still do wrong. But he says, as long as I've given you breath and another day to live, and as long as you have the will to repent of your sins and find me and make me your Lord, mercy is enduring. People of the Most High, don't do like I'm capable of doing. Don't do like you're capable of doing. Don't perish away. We're all capable. Even the greatest names in ministry today that we love to quote and look towards as examples and examples, in private moments, you don't know what a person is doing. You don't know how they're living. I'm a victim of that. Not a victim. I was an actual proponent of it. I lived it. I lived a double life in some cases. And we all do in weird ways. My point to this is that when we live according to his word and we strive to live out his plans in spite of our own thoughts, he will show us how to live righteous in this earth. And we can make heaven our homes. I don't know about you. I will not be going to hell. But I will be remaining saved in his grace and in his power. Listen, Sabbath is upon us. Get away from stuff, people. Get away from drama, secular entertainment. Find a way to be entertained in him. There's plenty of Christian movies out there. There are plenty of Christian comedians out there. There's much, you know, music for believers out there. Get into and get to all that he has for you by resting in him in these next 24 hours from sundown today until sundown on Saturday. And don't just go because, well, we're supposed to do it. No, go because you really want to know Yahweh. You really want to know, how do you want me to live? What should I do? How can I forgive when I've been hurt, I've been harmed, directly or indirectly? How can I restore trust and faith in something or someone that has let me down and disappointed me? You know, the interesting thing is, you don't go into Sabbath to think. You go into Sabbath to hear his thoughts concerning you. Jeremiah 29:11 states, I know my thoughts, Yahweh says, concerning you. They are thoughts of good, and they're not thoughts of evil. They're thoughts to give you and bring you to an expected end. People of the Most High, El Elyon, I love you with my whole heart. If there's any of you that I've ever hurt or harmed or given reason to be disappointed, I pray you forgive me as I forgive others who have sinned and transgressed against me. For as we forgive one another, Yahweh forgives us, and none of us are without need for forgiveness. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh, the wonderful name is above all names, lift his countenance upon you and grant you, through the plan of salvation, the admittance and the washing of sins in the blood of your life. May he grant you his shalom. At sundown today, I wish you and extend to you a Shabbat shalom.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway, right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.